ask Sister Bandy to start the year out with our specials today, so let's breathe out a prayer for her. She does an excellent job, Sister Bandy.
God is the Thanks, Sister Bandy. We appreciate you and your talent and the songs that you sing for us. And we pray God's blessings to continue upon you. I kind of have mixed emotions this morning. I was asked if I would preach again this morning. And this possibly will be the last sermon that I'll ever preach at Fairview Memorial. So that kind of tugs at my heartstrings. But, and the reason I say that, we're going to elect a new pastor tonight. And hopefully he'll be ready to go next Sunday. And, this church is very dear to me. You all been so good to me through the years. And I had prayed and studied this week, and I thought that me and the Lord both knew what I was going to preach on this morning. But yesterday, I discovered that only the Lord knew what I was going to preach on. So about 4 o'clock this morning, while the Lord gave me a thought for today. And I'm going to do the best that I can to try to honor God. And I hope that you'll pray for me. I need your prayers very much. I want to read a lesson that'll be found in the book of Acts, chapter 11. I want to begin at verse 19, and I'll read down through verse 24. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now that's my lesson for today. And as I've always done, I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to speak to you for a little while this morning and use as my subject, facing the new year with purpose. Facing the new year with purpose. I guess every new year is a challenge in some ways, but it's also a great opportunity. I read in the Bible where Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And you can go back and read from the first chapter of Genesis about the beginning of it all. In the beginning, God, and then God created, and then God brought forth. And so I'll not spend a lot of time on that. But, you know, God created time. He created it one day at a time. Each day had a morning and an evening. The morning and the evening were the first day, it says. And then there were 7 days. God created 7 days. And the 6 days of creation, and the seventh day he rested. And there were 7 days in a week. It's still that way, you know. The morning and the evening is still a day. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? And if you walk in the day, you'll not walk in darkness. So there's 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness. And so then God, you know, he created all things. I won't go any further with that except to say that God created two great lights and he put them in the sky, one to rule the day and the other to rule the night. He said they'd be for times and for seasons, for seed time and harvest. And he said as long as the earth remained, these things would not fail. Still like that, you know. In some ways, looking at things, there's nothing new under the heavens. There have always been sickness. There's always been pandemics. There's always been tornadoes. And there's always been hurricanes and all of these things. That hasn't changed. We may be having them more frequently than we used to. But it's nothing new, you know. And so every year has its challenges. And we have to face them with courage and with purpose of heart. We can't just be lackadaisical in the world, you know. And especially in our relationship to God and in our relationship to our church. These things are so very important that we need to have purpose of heart and determination. It's always a good time, the first of the year, to reset, you know. It's not the only time you can reset, but it is a good time to reflect upon the year and upon your life and about what you're doing and what you've done for the Lord and what you've done for your church. And it's always good to examine yourself and see, could I do better? Could I do better this next year than I've done this year? And then to purpose in our hearts that we're going to do it. That is to make a determination. We all have good intentions. But if we're going to carry out those good intentions, we're going to have a purpose of heart, and a determination that we're going to do that. And we're not going to fail in doing that. Now, I know that it's not easy, you know. It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven, a song said. There are many thorns in the way. There are many obstacles that we have to overcome. But you know, we can have a little talk with Jesus. As we were coming to church this morning, had the radio on to the Enlightened station that plays gospel music 24 hours a day. And they were singing, just a little talk with Jesus. And let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our cry and he will answer by and by. That's one of the wonderful things, you know. The Lord Jesus has promised that he would be a very present help in time of trouble. If you're having difficulty, if your faith grows weak, you become offended or whatever happens to you in your Christian walk with God, have a little talk with Jesus and he'll make it right. He'll help us to get through all of this time, these bad times, and we can enjoy our life. And so I wanted you to think about this for a minute. I did a little bit of research about making New Year's resolutions. You say, might say, well, I don't believe in making a New Year's resolution. Well, that's all right. But it's not a bad thing. If a person resolves in their heart that they're going to do better, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But anyway, I found out that making resolutions began with the Babylonians back about 2000 BC. Now, that was a long time ago. But they celebrated the first day of the year with a 12-day feast, a festival. They celebrated. And they did it twice a year. They celebrated the vernal equinox. Now, I'm not a scientist, you know. And the only reason I know this is because I looked it up. But anyway, that is the time that twice a year when the sun crosses the equator. And on those 2 days, there is exactly the same amount of time during the day as there is in the night. During that period of time. It happens around March the 20th in the spring and around September the 22nd during the fall. And March is the beginning of seed time and harvest, when farmers are tilling the ground and they're preparing to put their seed in the ground and expecting a harvest. And so the dictionary said that made resolutions. The Babylonians did, and their resolution was this, that they was going to return all of the farm equipment that they had borrowed from their neighbors, so the neighbors would have their implements to work with. And, when I was growing up, I've told you my daddy was poor. We didn't have all the fancy farm machinery that a lot of people had. And sometimes, our neighbors would say, now, Fount, if you need something, you come and get it, Whatever I've got, you're welcome to use it. And there were times that we would borrow maybe a mowing machine or maybe a plow or something to use in putting out our crop, maybe a tobacco setter or a corn planter or something like that. And we would use it just like it was our own. And I had a cousin, he committed suicide about a year ago. He had terminal illness. He'd been in a car wreck, was really crippled up. And so he went out on the front porch one morning and put a shotgun under his chin and pulled the trigger. Now, that's a terrible thing. But he was a good neighbor. He had lots of farm equipment, and people would borrow it. Most of the time, he'd have to go get it, They wouldn't bring it back, But anyway, the Babylonians, they were thoughtful enough that they would return what they had borrowed. And it said that this was one of the things they did. So making a resolution, making a determination, I'm going to return the farm equipment that I have borrowed, Well, that's grew, down through the years. And people still make resolutions. Some say, I'm going to lose weight. I don't think I ever heard anybody make a resolution, I'm going to try to gain weight. But we do make resolutions, I'm going to lose weight, And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, But I tell you, this would be a good time of the year to take inventory of our lives and see what we're doing, you know. You know, there's a saying, you've heard it. I know it's not new, but it comes to my mind. And it says, I know that, and I can't get it together. Just one life 'twill soon be past, and only that which is done for Christ will last. And that's the truth. This world and everything in it's going to pass away. I was talking about Solomon a while ago. Solomon said everything is vanity. You know, you can, whatever you do, you know, it doesn't provide complete fulfillment, you know. You may enjoy it for a little while, you know, but then it loses its flavor or its pleasure, you know. And so Solomon said, and maybe I ought to turn over there just for a minute, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I want to notice this verse of Scripture with you. Well, I know where Ecclesiastes is, but my pages won't cooperate. Here it is. It said, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then he said, what profit hath a man of all that his labor that he had taken under the sun? You know, Solomon, he was a fine young man. He came to the kingship in Israel. And the Lord asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he asked for wisdom, for understanding, that he might know how to lead God's people. He called them great, this great people, you know. And so God gave him wisdom. And he said, because you didn't ask for riches and fame, I'm going to give that to you also. And in his young days, he was close to the Lord. But as he got older, he drifted away from God. He did things that made God angry. The Bible says in the first Kings, I believe it's in chapter 11, that God was angry with Solomon for the things that he was doing. And he told him, I'm going to rend the kingdom away from you. I'm going to take it away from you. And so in his early days, he was close to God, but he drifted away from God. Now that may have happened to some of you. It has happened to me at times in my life. There was times when I, like one of the characters of the Bible, Job, I believe it was, said, oh, that I might know where I might find God. Have you ever been a place like that? Or where you just felt like you couldn't get in touch with God? But, you know, God is, he's available, and we can get a hold of God. And so Solomon, in his older days, he drifted away from God. And that's just one example that's in the Bible concerning this. And so we need to resolve, if we've drifted away from God, if we've let the world come between us and serving the Lord. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world, he said, is not of God. And so he said, don't love the world, but love the Lord. We need to love God and love His church and love His people. Need to love one another. That's one of the great hallmarks of being a Christian, is loving your brother and your sister. Being kindly affectionated one toward another. We need to do that. I guess maybe the worst kind of sin that a sinner might commit would be denying that he's a sinner. You know, just flat out denying that a sinner. In John again, the first chapter of John. And I don't know, seems like I can't quote too good this morning, but that's all right. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm glad I got a Bible. And I'm glad I still got enough mind to know where I can find the Scripture. And it says this. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And then he goes down and he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And then he goes on down and he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and the blood, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth and his word is not in us. And so I suppose, you know, we need to. Now, I'm not a priest. I don't want to hear your sins. You know, don't come tell me, you know, what you've done. But we have one who is an intercessor. We have one who is an advocate with God. And we can go to him and we can confess our sin and ask for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us. We can get back in relationship with God and in harmony with God. The first of the year is a good time to do that. Like I said, it's not the only time. There are 364 other days in the year when you can do the same thing. But it's a good time, search out your life. And Lord, am I in your will? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I supporting your church? Am I living up to the church covenant? Doing the things that church members are supposed to do. And so, we need to pray. You know, in the book of James. Now, I started talking about Solomon. I won't go back to that. Solomon, he got really depressed. He said, what profit hath a man in all of his labor under the sun? What profit? Let me go back over there. What profit hath a man of all of his labor under the sun? Why, he said, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. You know, our lifespan's not very long. I figured I'd be dead before now. But I'm still alive. You know, and I'm still breathing. And I've still got the joy of the Lord in my heart. And I still enjoy serving God. I still enjoy God's people. I enjoy the work of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, as David said, is my strength. And that's what keeps me going, is serving the Lord. I'll be gone pretty soon. And then somebody else, and I'll leave everything behind. I'm not naked. I came into the world, and naked I'm going to leave it. I can't take a thing in the world with me. And you can't either. You see. And Solomon, he was musing over that, you know. And he talked about, I tried everything, he said. Tried everything. And he said, it's all in vain, you know. It's all in vain. He said, the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he was. And the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again to his circuits. I read that, and I thought about what Jesus said to Nicodemus. The wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind blows wherever it wants to. Do you know it? And all the rivers, they run into the sea, and the sea's not full. Unto the place from whence the river come, thither they return. All things are full of labor, he said. Man cannot utter it. The eye's not satisfied with seeing, and the ear's not filled with hearing. And the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. So, he just got really depressed with life. It's just not worth living, you know. That's after he'd got away from God. When he was young, he was close to God. And he let the world come between him and God. And he got really depressed over the whole thing. It's not really worth anything. And he was wealthy, you know. But he said it's all vain. It's empty. It don't satisfy. It don't fulfill. But I'm telling you, there's one thing that will fulfill. And that's serving the Lord. You can have joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, by dedicating your life to the Lord, by making a resolution. I never got all of that. I'm going to go back and get that. The dictionary said, and I want to read this. If I can find it, I wrote it down. Anyway, it said the word resolution came from a Latin word, to resolve. To resolve. And that is to solve a problem. Resolve, we should say resolve, but it is resolve. Solve the problem again, you know. Correct it. Any mistake, correct it. And that's where the word resolve came from. And it means to determine that you're going to correct whatever needs to be corrected in your life. And so, I'll be closing just in a minute. But I want you to think about this. I say again today, I want for this church great prosperity. I want whoever you call to be our pastor, I want him to be a success. I don't want him to fail. I want God to use him to preach the gospel and to instruct God's people, so that we'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. And so that we'll dedicate ourselves to the Lord and to helping the cause of the Lord. So we need to pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. And so we need to pray for one another. I want to say this to the young people. I don't want you to get discouraged in the way. I want you to hold on. We don't have a lot of young people that are attending right now. But hold on. And don't be drawn away from the truth. Daniel was a young man. He was taken captive, taken to the city of Babylon. And they tried to turn him away from God and to Baal, to idol gods, you know. But he determined that he was not going He's not going to defile himself with the things that had been offered to an idol god. And so you make a determination. I'm going to stay with the church. I'm going to be true to God. I'm going to hold on to the truth. I know that there are a lot of places that have, lots of things to attract young people. Rock and roll bands and, all of this stuff, get young people involved in that sort of thing. But I tell you, don't substitute what we have here at Fairview Memorial with anything. It's important that you observe, that you watch, that you listen. The older people in this church, you need to watch them and listen to them. And you need to pattern your life after them. Because one of these days, you're going to be the old people in the church. And they're going to need your leadership. So Daniel, he would not yield to the temptations that was before him. He held on to the God. Job, he lost everything he had. His wife said, I don't understand you. All these years you've been serving God and then he done that to you. You be careful that you don't blame God for any misfortune that you face. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he kept serving God. Just kept serving God. We're indebted. I want you to know we're indebted. If you should lose everything you have, if you've been saved by God's grace, you still have something that's worth more than everything you lost. Now you say, well, now that don't make sense. Yes, it does. If you know the Lord Jesus, it makes sense. Because you have eternal life. And it's going to stand. And you're going to be preserved. Maybe one more scripture, maybe two. The psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the way of sinners, and that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Now that's the blessed man. But he said the wicked are not so. He said, the blessed man will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Bringing forth its fruit in due season. His leaves does not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm telling you, it pays to serve God. It pays to be faithful to God. And I hope that we'll all resolve, determine that we're going to do the best that we can to serve the Lord and to serve this church. Here's my last scripture. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, he said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, is going to of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap life eternal. And he went on and he said, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Now, let me say this. I didn't get to preach my farewell sermon. I got to COVID, and it interrupted, you know. I planned to retire from the pastorate the last Sunday in August, and it turned out that my last service was the first Sunday in August. So my time expired, and I never did get to preach my farewell sermon. And this is not much of a farewell sermon, I don't guess. But I want you to know, I trust this church. We're going to do well. The church is going to do well if we'll stick together, if we'll love one another, and if we'll put forth an effort to advance the church, you know, we'll do well. We'll do well. And that's what I'm expecting. That's my prayer to God. And if I never get to preach here again, if we never meet again, as the song said, if we never meet again this side of heaven, I'll meet you on that beautiful shore. You can look for me. I'll be there. I'm going to close. Could I tell you one more time I love you? And could I tell you one more time I done the right thing when I resigned? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But he knows what he's doing. Anybody have anything you want to say before we close?